Blog Talk Radio.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. Just the on-air sign up ahead.
Okay.
Here we go.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to our weekly episode of School Matters. Every Thursday, we discuss relevant issues that impact educational opportunities for young people and provide pertinent, actionable opportunities for real change.
This is Eric Dawson, and welcome to another episode of School Matters. Shortly, I'll be joined by Tawanda Dowdell-Sheard, and maybe Veronica Branch will join me later. Veronica is attending a strategic meeting in Newark tonight, and it would be great if at some point she could call in and let us know what's going on. I see that my sister Tawanda has called in. So welcome, Tawanda. How are you?
Hey, Eric. How you doing?
It's been wait a minute. You sound like Wendy Williams. Hey, Eric. How you doing? I'm doing all right. Listen, it's already heating up. The school board. We haven't even gotten to the school year yet. And the jockeying for position for the 2017 school board race has already started.
Wow.
Because they're realizing, I'm telling people, Tawanda, that they're chomping at the bit of having this thing be returned back to local control, not because they have a plan to educate these babies in any better way than they've currently been educating them, but because they have a plan on how to give jobs out to their friends and family. I'm telling Newarkers, be very careful.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So
yeah,
the thing that we're going to talk about tonight, and I listed it as the subject, was, the possible conflict. I was told that that the president of the Board of Education, Antoinette Baskerville Richardson, is not only is she the president of the board, but she's also holding a position as the lead community engagement specialist for the mayor of Newark.
True.
Okay. And so my concern about the possibility of a conflict is, how can you be, if you now have a job and you report directly to the mayor,
mm-hmm.
and the mayor really has no particular influence, should have no real influence. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening.
There's noise in the background. I'm going to have to put you on mute.
Yeah, I was just going down the steps. I'm listening.
Okay. And so the mayor now has undue influence on the Board of Education because he now hires the president of the Board of Education. He is the boss. He is now the boss of the president of the Board of Education. And so which to me is just absurd. So you have the president of the Board of Education who is a direct report to the mayor. And then you have other members on the Board of Education who work in different capacities for the mayor. I'm not understanding how that's not a conflict.
To me, it is a conflict, but I'm getting reports that being that it's being that it's a volunteer, no pay board, maybe that's the reason why nobody has brought it up.
Well, irrespective of whether or not it's a volunteer or no-pay board, it still is a board, and it functions, and it's governed by rules. And I remember having former Mayor Ken Gibson on the show, on a different show of mine. And Mayor Gibson, I asked him specifically the influence that he had as the mayor. And what Mayor Gibson said was that it was illegal for him to go and require or request that board members or meet with board members to persuade them to do different things. Now, maybe the mayor can, and this is just going based on what Mayor Gibson said. So maybe Mayor Gibson wasn't accurate, but he was mayor for 16 years, so I'm imagining he knew what he was talking about. Maybe it is.
And this is what
okay.
I want to know, Eric. Now, this is what I want to know. When Gibson was mayor, I was young. But what I was wondering is this. When Gibson was mayor and there was a board of education, you know, the board members, did he have something the way the mayor has now, like this unity slate or this children's first team? Like, did he push his own people?
No, when Mayor Gibson was mayor of Newark, the Board of Education was an appointed board. It was not an elected school board.
Okay.
And so the mayor actually got to appoint the board members, right?
Okay.
So, but after he appointed them, again, according to Mayor Gibson, after he appointed them, they were an autonomous board.
Okay.
Now, I guess he could go and publicly make recommendations or suggestions about what the board could, what the board should do, or what he would like for the board to do, but having clandestine meetings with board members and pressuring them to do things, according to my understanding of what the mayor was saying, was something that was illegal. And in fact, he used the term that you could go to jail for that.
Okay.
Right. So my question, if that is the case, is if you now have the president of the Board of Education who is employed by the mayor, it is reasonable for one to infer that pressure can be applied to the president of the Board of Education to vote and possibly persuade other people to vote based on her position as chairman of the board in a direction that the mayor would like them to vote.
True, and I don't think too many people know. This is my. I went to the first board meeting. I have not been to a few because I'm in school now. But I don't think a lot of people know that she works for City Hall now. I don't really think that was announced. So I don't really think a lot of people is aware of it, or if they are aware of it, I think they don't think it's a conflict of interest. So my thing is that maybe somebody needs to make a call and find out, is it really true that she works as, chief education officer that Dr. Wells had?
That is the position that I'm told she has, right?
Yeah, Dr. Wells left. I was told that she was in that position. Now, I mean, me and you, Eric, we both on Facebook. I have seen nothing but announcement.
Right.
People
well,
have told
I mean,
me
I'm,
she's
so
in
that
I'm position.
Hoping that it's not true, but we need to have that discussion. Right?
True.
So if it's not true, it's moot. Right, we can move on and we can talk about how enrollment is going. We could talk about you know what the first day of school looks like. We could talk about any announcements that are available for book bag giveaways. I know some were given away this past weekend at various locations. I know people are planning to do some this week and the weeks leading up to the
because,
opening
see,
of
the,
school.
The problem I have is I know they had to talk about they had a press conference about local control. Now, she was there. From the picture I saw, she was there. But my thing is, why the rest of the board members wasn't there?
Say that one more time.
Chairperson. Why wasn't the rest of the board members there at that press conference? Did they know
what
about the
press conference?
Press
are you
conference?
Talking about?
They had a press conference about local control.
Okay.
You didn't see that on Facebook?
Who was in attendance?
Baskerville Richardson, of course, the mayor,
uh-huh.
and Surf.
Okay, and you're asking why?
Why the rest of the board members wasn't present?
Well, you know why? Because they had something. I mean, you know, come on. We have these open and honest conversations. They weren't present
mm-hmm.
because they had something more important to do. I mean, let's have that honest conversation, right? It was not their priority to be there. That's why
they
weren't
know?
There.
Did they know? I'm wondering. Did they know about the press? I knew nothing about the press conference. Until I open my Facebook page.
Well, okay, so if they did not know about the press conference, I think it's sad if those board members didn't know about the press conference, and with all of the free opportunity to express themselves,
mm-hmm.
they didn't indicate that they were, not made aware of a press conference that occurred. They certainly can reach out to the press and give a statement. I'm sure the press would have picked up a
yeah.
statement. They didn't do that, so I'm assuming they knew.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the public wouldn't know because, like I said, I didn't know. I was shocked when somebody told me they're going down to the press conference at City Hall. I'm like, what press
mm-hmm.
conference? And they said, the person never answered me. But then somebody else responded to me on Facebook saying about local control. So, I mean, we're still back to the point of all this secrecy. These are our children's education. Why all the secret? Why everything gotta be secret?
I don't know why. I don't know what the advantage. Usually, if I look at a situation like that, I say, "Who's gaining an advantage by doing what it is that they did?" If there was a meeting for a vote, and you said to me that board members were not made aware of the meeting for a vote, and those who weren't in attendance might have voted in opposition of whatever the folks, who did not allow them to show up voted in favor of, then I would say, okay, we see a clear advantage, disadvantage. If you're saying that there was just a press conference that was announcing the possibility of return to local control by
mm-hmm.
this time next year, what would be the advantage gained? I don't know. And then that appears
yeah.
in the paper
yeah.
the next day. So I don't think that there's an advantage gained. So I would not think that there would be a reason for some board members to pick a fight with other board members
yeah.
over not showing up at a press
that's
conference
true.
Where there's not an advantage that's gained, right? So why they didn't show up, I don't know. But, again, like I said at the beginning of the show, the big thing is that there is a discussion about returning the schools. And we
mm-hmm.
have to look at the condition at which the schools are going to be returned, right? And we have to look
True.
At the lack of funding, right, that they're cutting all of these programs in order to meet a budget and what's going to be the plan by
True.
by the mayor or by the, by the Board of Education once local control is restored. And then the third
because,
thing, back to,
yeah.
President Baskerville Richardson. I have on very good knowledge from people that work, very, very close to all of these people, that there are talks about President Baskerville Richardson becoming superintendent once local control is restored.
Oh, my God.
See, so I don't know
you
if you've heard that.
You got to be kidding me. Oh, my God. No,
so
I cannot.
For all of you who are listening to School Matters, you've heard it first here. Right, that from very, very reliable sources.
But what qualifications would she have? Because don't you have to be
a certified teacher. Right. Okay. But you have to understand this, right? We have a year, and I don't know how long it might take to get whatever certifications, qualifications. I mean, you can also have her as acting superintendent until she has such qualifications. Right, but here's the thing that we have to realize is that she served as president of the Board of Education once before, She currently serves as president of the Board of Education now. She is, if rumors are correct, she's serving as the lead community engagement specialist for the mayor of the city of Newark. And so for her to now transition after having that on her resume to becoming a superintendent may not be such a far-fetched thing. Okay? But here's the other piece of this. When we show up at board meetings with only 20 people there, well, heck, what difference does it make? What difference does it matter?
Because at Arts High, I don't think it was 20 people there at Arts High Tuesday.
Right. And so when you also look, I want you to, for all of you who are listening, I want you to pay attention to this now. I firmly believe that the mayor is going to run his own slate of candidates this time. I don't think there's going to be a unity slate. I think that there were bad feelings as a result of the last one. I remember seeing a video where Mayor Baraka, and now I do know that politics change, right? And so they say, politics are not permanent, okay? Only interests. So so if folks share the same interest, they'll shift around the politics. But at a reception at the conclusion of the last school board election, there was a video where Mayor Baraka spoke when all three candidates who won were being congratulated, and he mentioned that there were snakes among them and that he needed to cut off the heads of these snakes.
Oh, wow.
We can only speculate about who he meant. But what I gathered from that, and again, very reliable sources that I have on the inside, suggest that Mayor Baraka is going to run his own slate of candidates. And will get tremendous amount of help from his friend over in Jersey City in terms of mounting a campaign. Now, I don't know if you remember, Tawanda, 2 years ago when the mayor did have his own slate, and you did not have PC2E or any of these other organizations in the mix, but you had Veronica, who was running as a candidate. You had Sheila Montague, who was running. You had Charles Love, who was running. Those three candidates came in behind the mayor's candidates.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't run on a ticket together, but they came in behind the mayor's candidates in this order, right? I think Charles Love got 2,000 votes. Sheila Montague got over 1,700 votes. And Veronica got 1,600 and some votes. My understanding, and it was based on an article that I read, was that the mayor, along with 700 people that he had on the ground for a school board election, called over to Jersey City and had the mayor send over an additional 70 people to win that school board election.
True.
So I believe now that you have an organization like PC2E who put some $200,000 into this race this past April, and you're going to have the mayor, if in fact he stays on the opposite side of PC2E and runs against them, he's going to have to match those funds, match that firepower, match that effort on the street. And I think he's going to lean to his guy, Steve Phillip, to do that. If the mayor is successful in getting his three candidates, as he's been in years past, when you look then and see who's on the board, you just count those people, I think he would have 5 votes to be able to confirm Antoinette Baskerville Richardson as the superintendent of schools.
When they're with the board members, if we get back local control, would the board members vote for her as superintendent? Or
That's the power. That's the power. There would be no more oversight by the state. So this is what's in at stake now. If local control is going to be restored in August or September, October of 2017, so that's about a year from now. The April 2017 school board election is a very critical election. So all you have to do is this. Look down that board. Which people are favorable to the mayor right now on the board? take Antoinette Baskerville Richardson off because she would be the one voted on to be the school board superintendent. But who else on it? Marquise Lewis is favorable. Who's the young lady who was on the unity slate that was Mayor Baraka's person?
Leah Owens.
Leah Owens, so that's two, right? Is there
Kim
anybody
Gaddy.
Else on that board right
but
now?
Kim, but then,
you got Dashae Carter.
Kim Gaddy is two PC.
No,
I'm
no,
not too
no,
sure
but
about
I'm
Kim
saying
Gaddy.
The mayor. You got Dashae Carter.
You got Dashae Carter.
Crystal Fonseca.
You got Fonseca. Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's four right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even if the mayor just gets one more seat out of the three, if he gets one out of three, then he has
mm-hmm.
five votes.
And she got it.
See,
absolutely.
So the people in Newark have to wake up.
Yeah.
The people in Newark have to wake up, and I'm going to tell you, I know that there's a tremendous amount of criticism that people have against me when I talk about the need for charter schools and for choice. Not the, you know, the demolishing of traditional public schools, but that parents should have choice. If the unions had their druthers, the unions would have no charters, and they would control the Board of Education again. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts about that?
It's just amazing to me because, like, we have come so far. I mean, my thing is this. We get local control. What are we controlling? Because the schools are being cut year after year. Even at Hawthorne, the principal decided he didn't want no more community engagement specialists. He took out the budget.
Okay.
So now,
I'm going to read something to you. While we were talking,
okay.
This is a former high-ranking elected official, a former high-ranking elected official in Newark. And here's
okay.
what I asked him while we were talking. This is what I love about technology, right? So I text him, and that may be
mm-hmm.
a clue to you guys, and you figure it out. But I said, is it appropriate for the Newark president, for the Newark board president to work for the mayor, replacing Dr. Wells, while remaining president of the Board of Education? And his response is, leaders and especially those elected can get away with anything in Newark. There is no opposition, no outcry. Giving all of public works to the East Ward, creating East Ward jobs, economic development for the wards versus an abandoned, meager, and empire old public works building. And for a highly, I don't understand what he's saying, contract to a, so he's talking about contracts to a minority firm. So he doesn't really go into answer that question, with the exception of sense, but he goes into some other things that I guess he's saying that the administration is doing that is outrageous, right, because nobody's paying attention. There's no public
mm-hmm.
outcry. So, but when he says leaders, and especially those elected, can get away with anything in Newark because there's no opposition. I'm going to take that to mean that it is not appropriate. but they're going to get
exactly.
away with it
because
there's no opposition.
Because she works, yeah, because nobody's talking about it. And that's, and see, that's my thing. Like, is it true? Is she working at City Hall? I mean, nobody has came out with an announcement. Or is it just something people are saying?
Well,
like, we
okay.
really have to know the truth. Because if it's not true,
okay.
then we can just move on to something else. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But as far as I know, she does work for him.
Okay. So what I'm going to say again is this. For all the people who listen to the show, it is imperative for you to find out. That's it. Knowledge is power. But it's imperative
mm-hmm.
for you to find out. So now, at least, there was a bell rung that said, hey, this might be going on under your noses. And so if
sure.
you don't find out, and it's real simple to find out. I mean, there's certainly people that you can ask other board members that can be asked, right? There are other people in the community that can be asked. If she's on a payroll, then that can be Oprah'd. So there are things that folks can do to find out.
True.
So, you know, and if the folks don't do it, then, again, I don't know what to do. You can lead a horse to water, Tawanda, but you can't make them drink.
Can't make them
drink. We can have this show every week, but if 15 people show up at a board meeting, then nothing's going to be accomplished. You know what I mean?
That's true. That's absolutely true. Because Tuesday night, it wasn't. I can't even say it was 20 people because it was only maybe 10 people on the speaking list. It's 10. So
wow.
I mean, a lot of conversation Tuesday night. We was talking about the community engagement specialist. Like those positions are being eliminated. It's, you know, they taking out of African American people, putting in Hispanics, and to me, that's against the law. You supposed to have the principal, vice principal, and the engagement specialist, because doesn't that come under Title I money?
Mm-hmm.
To my knowledge, and at Hawthorne, he just took her out. We don't have nobody.
Right, but again,
so when the school year come around,
we've been doing this show for a year. We've been doing this show for over a year. And at the very beginning, we talked about engagement being a key component, right? I see that we have some people who are listening to the show. I just want to make sure that they have the call-in number. The call-in number is 646-668-8859. And if you have a question or a statement or want to join the conversation, press 1 on your keypad, and I'll see a question mark over there in the call queue, and we'll try to bring you online. But we talked about engagement as being a key component to advocating for better schools, better educational opportunities for these children. And when I was asking you guys about Hawthorne and how many parents are engaged, there weren't very many. So a year later, I'm going to ask you the same question. How many parents are engaged over at Hawthorne?
Not many.
There we go.
And I think the problem is, too, though, Eric, it's the administration.
When you go to the school, you
don't feel invited. Like, I wish I could have meetings somewhere else, but I don't. And, I mean, I'm in the process of now.
What do you think would happen if 30 parents showed up at Hawthorne Avenue School? What do you think would happen?
That would be amazing. Then
right.
They would get the
and so
ball
do you rolling. Think that they would not – do you think they wouldn't accommodate those 30 parents if those 30 parents showed up?
Oh, yeah, they would accommodate them. But, you know, what the problem is, when we send out flyers, parents just don't show up. And I've talked to some parents. They just don't.
Well, that's
don't
what I'm saying. So
like
I wouldn't say that it is the administration. I'm saying it's the parents. It's the fact that the parents don't show up. See, because forget about the school, right? If you want to say, well, the administration doesn't make the parents feel welcome, doesn't make them feel comfortable, it's not an inviting environment for them. And I say, okay, well, you know what? Fine. Call a coffee clatch at your house and ask 20 parents to come. They won't come, no matter how inviting your house is, no matter how inviting you are. So they won't come to your house either. So it's not about you or it's not about the administration in a particular school. It's about the apathy of parents. And so, again, I say this. When you now recognize that probably across all of the schools, or most of them anyway, probably with the exception of the magnet schools and some of the well-performing traditional public schools probably have good parental engagement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you look and say, well, here's the dichotomy. The failing schools don't have good parental engagement. The successful schools have good parental engagement. Well, then there lies the reason why parents who care about their kids are moving them to better options. Because they're looking, saying, well, these parents are not showing up. The administration's not feeling the pressure from parents who say that they want better for their children. And so why should I, if I want better for my child, I'm not going to shoulder the burden of an entire school and try to turn the whole school around by myself. No, I'm not going to do that. I take my kid and put my kid in a different environment. Why would I be the only parent there fighting against the principal, fighting against the vice principal, fighting against the teachers, fighting against the two-seater street for this school when no other parent is going to be there? I'm going to take my kid out.
And I understand what you're saying, because it's times when I feel like I'm the only fighter.
Right. And you know what? Let's have a real honest conversation. Then why do you have your child there?
True.
Why wouldn't you move your child to... If you have your child on a sports team and nobody gave a damn on that sports team, like nobody gave a damn, and you're watching them lose game after game after game, and the coach doesn't give a damn, the other kids don't give a damn, the parents, when the coach tells them, when you go home, practice these drills so that you can be better in next week's game, and none of those kids even take the booklet from the coach, and the parents don't encourage them to, why would you keep your kid on that team? You'd move your kid to a different team.
Your kid has
a chance to succeed. So why would you keep your kid? I don't understand why any parent would. I would pick my kid up, and because for me, it shows my child that I care about them, that I understand the work that they're putting in, and I'm going to make it easier for them. So if my kid's already got to walk a mile, I'm not going to put 20 pounds of bricks on his back to walk that mile. He's already committed to walk the mile. I can make it as easy as I can.
I keep her there. It's for convenience, and also because I'm just optimistic. I'm just praying, you know, we was trying to do the center of hope, and I'm just praying that things will look better this school year. But if it doesn't, I'm going to have to move them. I have no other choice.
Right. And what grade is your child in?
She'd be going to the 7th.
Okay. And so in terms of intervention, right, because we talk about this board, and I'm concerned, too, that we had a board of education, board members that were elected in April. I don't know, personally, just because my schedule doesn't permit, especially with these FM radio shows that I do now. What, if any, intervention have these three new board members had over the summertime in terms of trying to improve at least the on-ramp process of getting kids registered for school so it's a smooth transition, and then have any of them held, so it's a two-part question. What have they done to, you know, create a smoother transition going into school in September? And then the second part of this question is, have they held within any of the communities that you know about any kind of town hall meetings to try to get from the parents what their points of pain are in terms of how the schools are operating?
I have not heard anything they did this summer. It's like when school let out for the summer, they let out. To be honest, I have not heard anything they've done. No town halls, no discussions about the upcoming year, about the enrollment center, nothing.
Okay, and so now the next question that I have, well, just a two-part question, too. Actually, it's three questions. One is, I want to know where all of the people who ran last year and lost, where their voices are. Because there were about 11 candidates that ran the school board. Three of them were successful, which leaves 8 that weren't, but said that they cared and talked about how dire the situation was. My question is, and I'm going to make a public appeal, that those 8 candidates become the nucleus in terms of a community voice speaking out against all 9 candidates, but in particular the 3 candidates that they ran against last year, and saying, see, we ran against these people, and this is what they said in all these debates, and this is what we're getting from them so far. But we need that. But then beyond that, at those debates, there were people there. I saw people in the audience at these debates.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, our radio show, we had in some instances 600, 700, 800 people listen to one of the candidate forums. Or we had 10 of them. So, you know, we had large numbers of people listening to those candidates. My question is, where are all of those people? Did they literally, the day after Election Day, everybody just went back to sleep? See, because now is where the work is required. And then where is the community? Where's your community? Where are, you know, all these other folks who are asking this question? And then here's that last question. I know I'm putting a lot on your plate. And I'm putting a lot on your plate.
But no, I know Jimmy White. I've seen him downtown doing registration for new voters.
That's perfect.
I've seen him on Facebook talking about the hub that he runs for the after school program. But that's just about it. I mean, I've seen Sheila on Facebook talking about the community, but that's just about it.
But what I'm saying is this. So for instance, there were 15 people roughly at the last board meeting, right? Okay. Do you know the names of those 15 people?
No, I don't know the names of all of them.
Okay.
My
question
is, I know it was Jason, I know it was Sheila.
So my question is this. Are those 15 people that showed up at the last board meeting committed to work together? Did any of you guys talk to each other and say, "Hey, listen, there're 15 of us here. We can get some work done with 15 of us." You know what? Because if there are 15 of us and each of us are committed to get 10 registered voters every week, that'd be 150 registered voters every week. In 10 weeks, that'd be 1,500 registered voters. Right? In 20 weeks, that'd be 3,000 registered voters.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We got 30 weeks before the next school board election, 35 weeks. So in 30 weeks, it'd be 4,500 registered voters. If each person, each of the 15 of you guys that were there, made that commitment. So you don't need the administration. You don't need to see the street. You don't need any. Those 15 people could literally sit and say, you know what, we all showed up. If nobody else is committed, the 15 of us will be committed. We'll get 10 registered voters every week. We'll meet and we'll turn our 10 registered voters. In 30 weeks, 5 weeks out before the election, if 15 people committed to do that, you'd have 4,500 newly registered voters. See, so for me, the way that I look at it, Tawanda, is this. There's work that has to be done. And there are people who just don't want to do the work. And they find all the excuses in the world. And so what will happen is somewhere in February or March of next year, the people who are running will be complaining that they don't have money to get flyers and posters and billboards. And they'll be talking about how PC2E is spending all of this money and isn't that a shame, and how the mayor is doing X, Y, and Z, and how somebody is tearing down their posters. None of that would matter if people just did work.
The work. True.
So literally, I laid out a strategy just now. 15 people, 10 registered voters every week. Every week. That's like 1.5 registered voters a day for the next 30 weeks. And if 10 people committed to do that, it wouldn't cost a dime. And you know what you'd be able to do, Tawanda? You and those other 14 people, you would be able to stand on Broad Market and you could pick your candidates to run for the school board. Because you would be able to tell them, I have 4,500 registered voters. I have their names. I have their addresses. I have their phone numbers. That's your whole campaign right there.
Yeah.
It's just simple. So the question, and I've mentioned this to you before too. Because of my formal training in corporate America, I have a particular discipline about me that says when I don't see the work, I know it's all bullshit, right? So when I look down a calendar and I don't see people doing anything, I don't see people counting up registered voters and doing that kind of stuff. I don't see them on that daily grind. I'll give you an example. My brother Darren, when he ran for councilman, right, the first time he ran,
mm-hmm.
he ran off the ticket. He ran against Charlie Bell. So Cory Booker had his, you know, he was running for mayor and he had his slate of candidates, right? And Cory had all that money, a couple million, a few million dollars. Darren decided a year and a half out that he was going to run for a councilman. Darren just started walking through the Central Ward a year and a half out, knocking on doors. Every day. He spent 8 to 9 hours knocking on doors every day. That became his job. Collecting names and signatures. And so do the math. In an 8-hour day, let's say you could talk to 6 people an hour. Right? 6 times 8, that's 48. That's 48 people a day on average. 10 days,
yeah.
That's 480 people. See, so if you do the math. So then when election time came, and this is true, when election time came, Cory and those guys, they ran a traditional campaign, you know, and Pablo Fonseca was the campaign manager. And I remember distinctly Pablo Fonseca said he was going to crush Darren and crush my father, who was Darren's campaign manager. We were out at night, you know, hanging up our posters. They would tear our posters down. It was me and my older brother and my younger brother and some family members. It was just us. It was a handful of us.
Mm-hmm.
But we were committed. We'd be out there 4 hours, 5 hours every night hanging up posters. They'd tear them down the next day. We'd hang some more. They'd tear them down the next day. Darren made it to a runoff with Charlie Bell. And when Darren made it to the runoff, Charlie Bell tried to go into communities that he had never gone into in the Central Ward to get votes where he needed them. But Darren had been walking in that community, in those communities, for well over a year. And they said, Charlie, we never saw you in this whole time that Darren was here. And now you're coming a week or two before Election Day. And Darren won that election by 11 votes. 11 votes. And they poured a ton of money in Charlie Bell's campaign. So it's not about the money. It's about the work and who's
yeah.
willing to do it.
That's true.
Right? So when you see people.
Because look how DJ won. DJ was an independent. Donald Jackson.
Right.
He put
in
the work.
And you know who else? And I criticize him now. I do. I criticize him now, you know, but I don't criticize him because I hate him. I criticize him because I love him, and he was lazy, and he didn't do a damn thing once he got on the Board of Education, and that is my brother Marquise Lewis, and I will continue to criticize him, right? But Marquise
yeah.
Lewis, and you know, he says when I criticize him, well, you supported me the first time I ran. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And then he puts up on social media a picture of him at my parents' house with my dad and me. And all. Yes, we were in support of you. He ran against the entire machine. He ran against Steve Adubato, and he ran against everybody else in the South Ward. Oh, he ran against them all.
Oh,
you know
okay.
what he did?
I didn't know
he
that.
Had little pieces of paper that he had gotten Xerox, pink pieces of paper and green pieces. He couldn't even afford to get all white paper.
Oh,
but
wow.
he was walking and knocking on doors every day. That's how you win.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
So
that makes
I can't hear this whole idea of well, people in the community can't do anything because the principal don't want us there, or, you know, Surfer's doing this because of whatever, or even the mayor is doing whatever because of, I really can't hear that. The people have the power. And they're not exercising any of it. They're just laying back and getting rolled over. And so, and so, like this former high-ranking political office holder who texted me, he said they can do anything because nobody's watching. Derek, they can do anything because nobody's watching. So the scenario that I laid out to you that says you've got, he's got four people on the board right now, not counting Internet Basketball, but he's got four people on the board right now. If, in fact, he is trying to bolster Antoinette Baskerville's bona fides by giving her this new position within his administration, then after this upcoming board race in April 2017, he only needs one of three to have a solid five votes. And upon having those solid five votes, he'd be able to say, Antoinette Baskerville, she's a two-term, a two-time board chair, right? I'm sure she's got all of her certifications in line, right, as a board member. And that she also served as, in my administration, as a head community engagement specialist, whatever. And those five people would vote her in. And while those five people are voting her in, you'll have 15 people sitting in the audience. And you know what those 15 people would be saying? Oh, this is the bullshit right here. Oh, this is the bullshit. I can't believe that she did that. I mean, then they go to their Twitter pages and they go to their Facebook pages. That's all that'll happen. And they know that. Because they don't see anything different. So you just said, well, I see Jimmy White out there getting registered voters. Well, who else is with Jimmy getting registered voters? There's 270,000 registered. There are 278,000 residents in the city of Newark. 278,000. And you mentioned one person.
Yeah.
Right. So what are we doing? So we are a community that complains but does nothing. We're a community that says that we care about education, but we don't show it. Right?
We don't. Yes, sir.
I mean not on the traditional public school side. And so this is where I say, and folks like Jimmy disagree with me. And he says, well, the public board of education, or the board of education is for public schools, traditional public schools, because public charter schools, they have their own board and they do their own thing. And so why do they care? But why are they a part of the board? Well, I'm saying this, that I may not be a train conductor, right? Mm-hmm. But if I'm on the train, Tawanda, and the conductor falls asleep, I'm going to grab the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Did you understand what I just said? See, so maybe these more conscious people are realizing that the parents that we're talking about in traditional public schools are asleep at the wheel. When you have 15 of them showing up at a billion-dollar Board of Education meeting.
Yeah.
And so maybe they said, look, these people will run this whole thing into the ground if somebody doesn't take the wheel.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a lot of work. So I'm not critical.
And my thing is, I'm not critical either. Everything is about choice. But if we're going to get anywhere, especially local control, we all have to work together. It's not just about your child.
Well,
your child's in charge.
Who's all?
I mean everybody. I'm not just talking about public schools.
But that's what I'm saying. So the 15 people that showed up, why should we care about anybody else? Why should we care about anybody else other than the 15 people that showed up at the board meeting and the two people that showed up at a PTA meeting? Why should we care about everybody else? They have not prioritized this. So they don't show up. They don't prioritize it. But folks in the community should take them into consideration. See, it's the same thing, Tawanda, with regular elections. So we're talking about the Board of Education here. This is School Matters for sure. But the same thing goes with anything else. When you have 11% turnout, or 7% turnout, that means that 93% of the people didn't care. They didn't prioritize it. And so now, when the 7% that voted are talking about what they want, if it turns out to be different than what the 93% want, why do the 93% get a chance to weigh in? Why?
Yeah.
Why should the 7% care?
I mean, what you're saying is true, but I don't know. Somehow we have to, like, bring everybody together. I'm really optimistic. I'm thinking, like, something has to give sooner or later.
You know what?
Hopefully
soon. I'm actually going to get a shirt that says this. My dad used to say this, and I'm going to get a shirt because I think it's important. He says, those who you won't let die won't let you live. That's what he used to say. See, you spend your time trying to save people, right, who want to, they're not trying to live. They're not. You're working harder trying to get them to live, and you're ignoring opportunities that you could have to try to get somebody who's not trying to live. So
and
if I come
forget,
to you and,
I had a conversation with Assistant Superintendent Roger Leon, and he said, if parents will work hard like you do, McGraw could have been saved. Or even, he said, don't be in that statistic where you fight, and then your own child fall through the cracks.
That's absolutely right.
And he had a point that, you know, we fight, and like you said, some parents don't want it. But then you have your own child in the background that's maybe neglected. You know, I give my child what she wants. If I can't get at Hawthorne with the after-school program, I make sure she goes to NJIT on Saturday. And I'm just trying to help the parents. Some parents, these young parents, I'm thinking they just don't know what's at stake. I could be
what
wrong.
What do you mean? Well, okay. So, you know what?
They could be younger than me, like in their early 30s, 20s. Some parents might be in their 20s. And they just don't understand the fight that we're in. I could be wrong.
You have to be more specific. When their kids are coming home with D's and F's, they don't understand that? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying like some kids are being neglected. We don't understand what their home life is. They may not. Parents may be out there in the street. We don't know.
They
could be anything.
I can appreciate that too, right? And I think that the idea, although, so the idea of a community school, which is what the mayor and you know was proposing, I don't think that's going to be successful because the money it takes for a community school, I don't think that the mayor has the political clout to be able to raise that kind of money. I don't think that he has the bandwidth to do that. You need somebody like a Cory Booker who has the network to be able to raise that kind of money for a community school to be able to provide those kinds of wraparound services that a child that you're talking about might need. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. But here
I mean,
as
we talked about that, and they talk about that Tuesday, we feel like the community school they have now, which is Belmont Runyon, Shabazz is the feeder school, I think Louise Spencer, Peshawn and Avon, I feel they're not ready. They don't even have the teachers yet. Some classes don't have teachers.
It's a facade. It's a farce. They're not going to have the money for it. But here's what I'm saying again. When you have an electorate that is so apathetic that doesn't look holistically at these things, right? So when folks are prepared to elect a person simply because that's their boy and not because he has the requisite skill set to be able to provide what is needed for a failing community, then the people look and go, well, we don't have this. We can't do this. There's a problem. We knew those problems exist. Even the problem that you're talking about, where you say, well, a lot, maybe these kids are neglected. Maybe these kids. So why didn't voters take that into consideration when they were voting? So when they were listening to this mayor say, well, this is what I want to do, and you say, well, okay, he wants to do this, and we need this service. Did you look and say, well, can he do it? Somebody said to me the other day, they said, well, you know, the mayor is well-intentioned. Okay. And my response was, I'm sure the captain of the Titanic was too. I don't think he wanted to sink the boat. Right? But at some point you look and say, you don't have the ability to keep it afloat anymore. Move out of the way. Right?
Yeah.
You see, so when are we going to stand up and have those very honest discussions about, but what I will say to you with the, you know, we have about 4 minutes left to go on the show is this. My fear is that because the electorate, a lot of folks who vote have never been in situations where they've had to interview or evaluate somebody. So they don't know how to do that. Everything I just said to you, they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to look and assess a job and then evaluate a candidate to see whether that candidate has the requisite skills and knowledge to be able to fulfill the tasks in that job.
True.
They don't know. But it requires you acknowledging you don't know and trying to get educated on it. And so I'm not even going to give them a
true
pass there.
And I just think
so
that
what you don't
control,
know. That's right.
And I think we're us getting better local control. We have a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do.
Ask, you know what? I give you this challenge. Go find 10 people who said they wanted local control and then ask them to write 5 very specific things that they hope to accomplish within the first 90 days of having local control back. They wouldn't be able to do
okay
that.
And also,
right?
What I want to say this is,
because they're screaming that they want something. And you know what my grandmother used to say to me? You know, we sit down to dinner, be a whole lot of food. I try to shove a lot down my throat because I wanted it all. And then my stomach, I couldn't finish it. And she said, boy, your eyes are too big for your stomach.
True.
See, in our community, we want something that we're not ready for.
And
we're
also,
not ready for
remember,
it.
The success board that they had that Christie and Rance got together, the mayor, they have even, it was a book. They did this book of what local control would look like school leadership. Like, either you either have the mayor appoint the board or you continue having an election. So it's those two choices that they can
okay
vote on.
So wait a minute. So I just got a note from somebody else, guys, just so you know, right? I got people. And they said they just found out from a very, very reliable source that Antoinette Baskerville has been in that position since July 1st. So
okay,
you know what? That was the administration giving you a big finger. Right? That was that administration giving you a huge finger. So much for transparency.
True.
So much for transparency,
So now... The thing is,
so now
that's
what?
A conflict
so
of
that's
interest.
The question for
now,
you. In these last,
she needs to
in this last
down
minute. So now what, Tawanda? So now what? We did it. Now what?
Yeah, and then
the
community
see,
needs
the community
to
is
come
like,
out.
The community is like an abused woman in a relationship who has low self-esteem.
He
keeps smacking you, and you don't do anything because you can't do anything. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go?
Yeah.
He came home drunk, and he just decides he wants to smack you around, and there's nowhere for you to go. And then when he's ready to have you back, he tells you he loves you, and then you think everything is all right until he smacks you again.
True. Yeah.
But if she's
you
been
right
in that position since July 1st, any and everybody listening to this show should be angered beyond belief.
Yeah. Yeah, because now what's the next step? What is the community going to do now?
Well, I don't know that there's a community. I'm saying there's no community. You have 15 people show up at a board of education meeting. You have no people show up at a PTA meeting. We have to come to grips with the fact that there is no community. Listen, this is Eric Dawson. This is Tawanda Dowdell Shear. We'll have Veronica Branch next week. And we'll talk about this idea of whether there's a community. Tawanda, my sister, I love you.
Love
you
too. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
every Thursday, we discuss relevant issues that impact school educational opportunities